This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Brent Fox.
It's your boy Jay Remy, Fat Woke Boys, Roast King of Cleveland, here to tell you about Akron's king of underground battle rap, Dallas Cash. Dallas Cash, rising artist with debut fire single out now. He's got over 115,000 total views on Verse Tracker. Winning battle after battle from Ohio to Cali. You can find him on iTunes and Spotify under I Like Dallas Cash, on Twitter at I Like Dallas Cash, or his website, IHateDallasCash.com. He's a complicated man. Find out more about him now before you have to pay for everything.
That's Brent Fox.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're talking about our feelings. Well, not us specifically, Jordan and I's feelings, because we do that every week. But your feelings, the royal you, if you will. Joining us this week in studio is comedian Kate Hogan.
Welcome, hey. Kate. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's a sweet Rosie the Riveter. I almost called it a Cargadin. Cargadin? Jesus. We're getting off to a hot start here.
Pullover sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Do you hose off your tongue? Is that the problem there, Jordan?
I never hose off my tongue unless you're in my mouth.
Ah, well.
That's how you catch something that way. We'll be back right after these. Yeah. I was going to say these punches, but yeah.
All right. So, Kate, why do you hate emotional labor?
I guess it's kind of to add semantics to it. It's not like I hate emotional labor. It's more so the expectancy of in not just in specific situations, just in general. Like, I guess I learned like in undergrad for the most part that it's okay if people don't like me. You know, like not everyone has to like me. They just have to respect, you know, treat me with modicum of human decency and we're good.
Yeah.
And then after that, I learned a more valuable lesson to me was I don't have to like anybody either.
No, you don't. That's kind of the point of this podcast. Right.
And so I think it's just like this expectancy that when you don't like a person or they don't like you or something like that, you have to like, why don't we have to work it out? We have to figure out. No, you just don't like them. Like, just don't. You could be in the same room as someone you don't enjoy and it's not that difficult.
I mean, Does that make sense? No, I agree with you. I think there is a level of severity there, though, that has to come into play. Like, how much and why you don't like somebody.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I could name a couple people, Shear. I'm sure you could figure out who I'm talking about. But like, if like, and this is like public shit out in like out at comedy shows, which I rarely go to anymore, except for when I work the door at theirs. But like, there's certain fucking people that it's like, I don't have to be nice to you, and I'm not gonna fucking be nice to you because I think you're a fucking cunt, and
yeah.
I've seen you be a fucking cunt. So there's a lot, like,
well, I guess it's subjective what is nice. You know what I mean? Is nice saying
cordial?
Hey,
cordial is one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's what I mean by like the basis of respect. You don't have to address me. I don't have to address you. If we're standing in like a circle of people talking, it's not like you got to give me like, or I have to be like, yeah, okay, jerk. You know, like,
right.
You know, it's not like I have to dismiss you or completely ignore you. It's, you know, and that kind of emotional labor in a social setting, it's kind of, that's what I hate, is that expectancy to like and be well liked.
Well,
like,
I'll show you my expectancy. For example, one time, this specific person I'm talking about, we were standing outside the roast battle show, and it was like a circle of people that I was kind of standing behind the person that I dislike. Wasn't really talking with that whole group of people. I was talking with another group of people. But he's like, yeah, I just I wouldn't want to do one of these roast battles with somebody unless they really fucking hated me. And he was standing in front of me so he couldn't see me. And I just raised my hand and fucking people lost it.
Yeah, and he never knew.
So that's how nice I am. Like, I'll fucking hate you. I mean, I'm pretty straightforward guy. I think if you've been listening to this show, people know that. But, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to make trouble for my other friends who are friends with that person.
Well, it's not, that's what I guess I kind of, that expectancy, it's like, I actually enjoy being nice. Like, I find it, like, I get, I don't know, warm foot, whatever you want to call it. And it's not like I'm always nice or I'm a perfect person, but it's more like a, I like going out of my way to be kind.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. Yeah. I think I did. You know, like, I'd say the world.
I would say
most people are like
we're
that.
Kind people. Yeah, without a doubt.
But I guess I just don't understand the going out. Like, I have no time to go out of my way. Like, I'll be petty. Definitely. Like, I will get petty. I will say snide remark. You know, like, I'll do something. But, like, if I have an actual issue with you, like, I've had a few people where I Facebook message. I said, hey, you know, you did this. Or, hey, I didn't appreciate that. I am very direct. Like, if I have an actual active issue where I feel slighted, I feel wronged, I'm going to, you know, like, I almost feel like to, especially if we're working together, essentially, like, with comedians, it's, I'm going to say something to you.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be in public. It's not going to be, you know, like, call you out or anything like that. No, if you do something cunty, like, you know, like, say a racist, you know, epithet, misogynist, I will definitely, I call it out on the spot. But, like, outside of that, if it's natural, like, I feel slighted in whatever relationship, acquaintance, coworker, friendship,
right,
I'll go to you directly and talk about it. But I just, like, this with emotional labor, what I hate about it is it's like, in relationships, it's in, you know, I don't think I owe it to your ego. Like, there's a difference between being nice and kind.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to goat anybody's ego. I'm not, if I do something nice for you, I don't think you're obligated to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. It's kind of like that two-way street. So it's just like, I'm just not here for other people's comfort.
No, I understand that. I mean, like, but at the same time, like, I mean, in a friendship, not, you know, not necessarily a working relationship, but in a friendship, like, you want that respect to be a two-way street. And I use respect as the word for also love and all those, but, like, respect is the core of it.
Yeah.
And I think that, because I was raised in a family that, like, they all think, oh, respect is earned, not deserved.
Yeah.
There is truth to that. There is a lot of
admiration
truth to that.
Admiration is earned.
Right,
yes. Respect should be a given.
Well,
you know, basic, decent human respect, you know what I mean?
Right, and, like, my thing, though, is like, you can't blatantly disrespect me and then expect to be, like, the old, like, the people, my uncles and shit. Not all of them, but most of them. My uncles and aunts, mostly my aunts, not even my uncles. Like, they expect it out of you, and they feel that they can treat you like dirt. And I'm like, well, no, fuck you. And then there's the reason I'm the black sheep of the family, because I'm like, I'm the first one to be like, fuck you and your anniversary party, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your whatever, I'm not coming, because I don't need to be around you fucking people. Exactly. And that's my family. That's how I treat my family.
That's, I mean, that's like the emotional, like, you, if you were to stand there and go to a party with people that not only you don't like, okay, they're your family, that's cool, but are going to not be abusive, but just degrade, you know what I mean? It's just going to be unpleasant for you. That's where I'm at with emotional labor. I'm not here for your, you know what I mean? I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, and it's not like I'm not saying these people are victimizing me or anything like that. It's just, I don't care for the person you are, or even in a relationship. My last one, I had to, like, sit down and be like, we need to have a talk. And this isn't why we broke up or anything like that, because we talked through it and stuff. But I was like, I need support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need, you know, like, it's not like I just need nice dates. I don't need a good time. I don't need someone to tell me I'm pretty. I need, from a relationship, I need emotional support.
Yeah. Like, you need somebody, and, like, that's, I mean, I've been in my relationship for going on six months now. And it's like, we're constantly each other's support system.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody has fucking bad days, and when your significant other has the bad day, you have to fucking be the pillar for them to stand up against and be like, look, we're going to get through this bullshit. Like, that I don't mind.
Exactly, you know? And that's the emotional labor that I'm like, yes, I'm here for that. Like, I love you. I like the person you are, and I want to invest in this. But then there's this, like, with your family, like you were talking about. Like, my sister didn't go to college. I did. And when I was getting into, I was taking the SATs, my mom was like, hey, you know, I'm real excited. Like, I was graduating with honors. I had scholarships. Can you low-key not talk? Like, I couldn't be excited for the work I did. And that doesn't make her a bad person. It doesn't make me a better person. We both have two different lives.
How about the flip side of that? How about she's happy for you?
Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? Like, and I get being a little bit like, okay, this is something sensitive, but when you're telling me this before my graduation part, like, we're literally having a can you be low-key about, like, your accomplishments?
I'm very happy to be here today at my graduation party. Thank you very much for coming.
That is, although I didn't have to graduate. Good people don't graduate, too.
Correct.
But it's correct. Just kind of like a, you know, that where it's like a, it's not just being sensitive to somebody. It's literally stroking their, taking care of their ego.
Yeah.
That emotional labor. And it's just kind of like, I'm not here for it. It's the same thing with men that hit on me. If I'm a stranger, you have no idea who I am.
Right.
And you could, I have no idea who you are. And if you come up to me, like I had some guy in the store in Mark's yesterday. I asked to scoot by him, and I was like, oh, excuse, not even like, it's not like I touched him. It's not like, I just wanted to get, his cart was out of the way. And he goes, oh, no worry, hon. Do you know how cute you are? And I was like, yes, I own several mirrors. Like, that wasn't like a night, you know what I mean? He didn't strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
It was just like a, this is not, what?
Yeah, like, it's...
And that you're expected to, like,
oh,
be
thank
gracious
you.
About it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Do you know how, yeah, and it's like a, it's almost like a, as far as, like, this emotional labor, I'm at this part where, like, I feel like I'm a kind person. And kind is not synonymous with nice. I don't have to be nice 100% of the time.
I'm just going to, like, so that I'm never considered a creep, I'm just going to walk up to girls and be like, you know how fucking ugly you are?
Yeah, no, I own several mirrors.
It's synonymous. You can just switch them out. It's perfect.
No, and it's just like, and then I get caught, like, this guy, I met him. I went to a party because I recently broke up, and I'm doing this thing where I'm just like, I just want new people. Like, I actually, I didn't know anybody when I moved to Cleveland. And so the people I've been hanging out with are the people I've been hanging out with, and I love them. I cherish them. It's cool, but I need to grow. I need to meet new people, especially now with comedy. You know, you want to be creative. It's not about networking. It's about collaboration.
Yeah.
And I'm glad somebody else feels that way. It's a very difficult field to collaborate in because of the egos involved. And again, there's a lot of emotional labor involved in trying to mix two things. Or in my case, five things or seven things.
I was going to say, because like, I mean, I never really thought about this before, but there's very few people that I stroke their ego. And the people that I do, it's the people that I love. You know what I mean? Like, and I have no problem doing it.
It's nice to, the people you love, you want to see shine. So why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yes. But like if people, like, for example, I mean, I don't have a specific example of this, so I'm just kind of like speaking out of turn, but like, if I was working on a project and I was bringing in, obviously, Jeremy, and say I was bringing in you and I was bringing in somebody else, and then other people are like, well, why didn't they fucking ask me to do it? I don't fucking have to ask you to do it. It's my fucking thing. Suck my dick.
Like, what I kind of like think in my head whenever, and it's not even like, because I usually, like literally within the last 2 months, maybe at most, I've actually been hanging out with comedians. I've been investing.
Don't do it.
Right? But like, it's because I like, but I don't use, and what I've learned is, and this might be something that's like specific to me and my background or whatever, what have you. And it's not saying that I'm like more emotionally stable, because I'm super not. Like, all things considered, I'm pretty well adjusted. But like, I feel like I don't use the comedy scene. Like, I don't use Girl Scouts. I don't use my work. I don't even use, like, my college. I don't use them as my basis and only foundation of validation and community.
That's,
period.
That's like, people's biggest fucking mistake.
And what I see with comedy specifically, because it's essentially, it's immediate criticism or immediate validation when you get up on stage. What I see with, like, and this is not one specific person, and I've done it as well, where it's not even about getting cocky, but it's about literally taking every single, it's not, you have 20 people in the room, 19 people left. You don't give a fuck because one person didn't.
Yeah.
And I see these people take it as, I've been rejected by their, you know, I've been, or if you don't, like you were talking about on the project. And what I usually do is like, when I see something or hear something, or all of a sudden like 17 people in the scene are posting some inside joke that I have no idea about.
Mm.
I'm not that special. Has nothing to do with me. It's something that happened at a thing I wasn't at. You know?
Yeah, and it's not that big of a deal. Like, I mean, I can, the only fucking, how long have you been doing comedy?
I started when I was 18 because my ex-boyfriend who did stand-up told me I wasn't funny.
Okay.
So I went to his club and did it and then broke up with him.
Yeah.
And then I moved to India for a bit and they didn't know any open mics there.
Sure. So that's, sure.
And when I moved back, I kind of did it a little bit, but then I was in a trial and so you can't really do things.
And you haven't learned not to hang out with comedians.
I don't, well, actually, well, that's what I would go. I would, like, that's why I keep my head down. I don't talk about, like, if I have, like, an issue with, like, if I have an issue with somebody, either a comedian or, I'm a Girl Scout leader and stuff, or if it's at work, depending on, like, well, work's a little bit more trickier, but I go directly to the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, unless it's, if I'm, like, that's not a big enough deal. I don't care for this person in my life. Like, oh, they slighted me. I feel disrespected, but I don't feel wronged.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm not going to hang out with them.
And I mean, and I'm just teasing because, I mean, obviously I'm still friends with comics, but like I've reached a point where like within the last year where every time I've tried to come back around, more shit just blows up. And I'm like, and it never has a fucking thing to do with me because I make sure that it doesn't. But like shit blows up and I'm like, I can't fucking deal with this anymore. I mean, Jeremy's got a very good system for how he figured out why people act the way they do. Because none of us went to college, so nobody knows how to fucking act like a person.
I went to college.
No, but and you clearly have. I didn't go to college, but like you clearly have you learned how to, as he calls it, people. You learned how to do that.
It's part of the college experience is not just, you know, the whole taking classes and shit. It's socialization with people that are outside your lifetime peer group.
And not even that, too. When you socialize, there's no teacher to be like, oh, okay. Like, there's no detention for calling somebody an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
There's
I want to be the principal of people.
Just do that. Just show up to comedy shows and write pinks like detention.
A, that joke wasn't funny. 5 demerits. You have detention on Saturday with me.
Corporal punishment.
Well, the same thing with, like, which, I mean, there are, like, right now, a big thing with, like, free speech and stuff. There are colleges that are trying to, like, oh, you can't protest. Oh, you're an athlete. You can't whatever, da-da-da. But, like, in the 7th grade, I got a detention they called it a dress code violation because my shirt was distressing other students. It was the day we bombed Iraq. And when we bombed Iraq, I wore a shirt that said anti-war, anti-Bush, and then all-American. I made this. I had the white Sharpies. I stenciled out little red and black. You know, I worked real hard on it. And 7th or 3rd period, I got called up to the front of the class, and Mrs. Oxley was like, all right, I wasn't going to bring it up, but obviously you kids are talking about it. And she was a social study. We talked about it. And then in 5th period, Mrs. Kachu sent me down to the office. Like, by the, they're like, you can put a sweatshirt on or get a detention. And I was like, I'll take my detention.
When I was in, it must have been my senior year. It was my senior year. I went and saw NOFX, and they had a shirt with Jesus on it, and he had a bottle of booze in one hand and a gun in the other, and it said, never trust a hippie.
And I like it.
And I got all the way to, like, 7th period psych class, and our psychology teacher, which this still to this day boggles my mind, and anybody who is of any sort of right mind is like, why would they do that? Our psychology teacher was a hardcore right-wing Christian, which makes psychology. You have to teach people about being open. And
have you heard about Ben Carson, the neuroscience?
Oh, I mean, I don't consider
surgeon.
Isn't he one of the Ben Carson? He doesn't believe in dinosaurs, right?
He believes that something about the grain in the, like, the Tower of Babel, like something.
Oh, it was the pyramids were used to store grain.
The pyramids, like something real off the wall, like. Crazy for Scientology, even, you know. Like,
yeah.
But
well,
go on,
I'm
sorry.
No, it's okay. I got sent to the principal's office, and they were like, "You have to take that off." And I was like, "Well, I can't. I don't have another shirt." And it was like, I want to say it was like April.
Yeah.
It was like right before I graduated, and they called my mom. And my mom, who, I mean, I mentioned this a ton on the show, but we don't know each other. I was raised Jehovah's Witness. Not okay. She fucking, when she saw, because I walked out of the house that day because I knew what I could get away with and what I couldn't get away with because I was the bad kid. Like, I had my zip up hoodie on. She never fucking thought. And then when she got there, she was like, are you serious? I'm like, fuck this guy. Fuck that guy. As far as the psychology teacher, me and him did not get along. Like, he told us that kids shouldn't be allowed to watch SpongeBob SquarePants because...
Effeminate?
No, because SpongeBob and Patrick are gay. Like, and that was our psychology teacher. I'm like, you shouldn't be teaching me anything about Freud, you idiot.
They don't have sex organs.
I had to. Actually, kids, think about it. When my niece was, she's potty training, and then she went up to, she was about 3.5, 4-ish. So, like, not, she was fully potty trained, but still had accidents and stuff. So, we still went together and everything. And she was getting watched by the woman up the street who had just had a little baby boy. And she saw the diaper change and was like, what's that? And the Catherine was like, boys have a penis, but I think your mom knows more than me. No one told me this happened. And so we're in the Kohl's, like, washing our hands. She's like, so I have her up, and she goes, Aunt Katie, is SpongeBob a boy? And I was like, yes, thinking this normal everyday conversation. She goes, oh, so does he have a penis? And you hear all the little giggles, like, from the other women. And I was like, well, he's a cartoon character.
SpongeBob, Sponge Dick. Sponge Dick SquarePants.
Very porous.
Wait a minute. That might be the perfect dick. Think about it. It just soaks up the moisture and gets bigger.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it, though. Because for some reason, I think of, like, it being more coral-esque than sponge-esque.
Yeah, that sponges probably are a little rougher.
Well, I don't know how you like
for
it.
For her pleasure.
I don't know how you like it.
But.
No, it's like you're saying, like, that's what I just, the way I, like, go into a situation, if I'm meeting a new person or someone I don't know really well, is it's more of a, like, they don't owe me anything, I don't owe them anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like a, I don't know, it seems real pessimistic, but I think it's optimistic.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like the only kindness in this world that you're guaranteed is the kindness you create.
Yeah.
Kindness that you're putting out there. And it doesn't, what is it? The Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman, somebody tweeted her, you cunt.
Yeah.
And she went, I can see you're hurting. Obviously, if someone's just going to tweet a stranger, you cunt. Like, misogyny.
I've done that to Donald Trump and Ajit Pai, or Paw, or whatever the fuck that guy's name is. And I got banned from Twitter for it. For calling him a cunt.
Well, you should have tweeted it to Sarah Silverman, because this guy now has Wheels page.
I read that whole thing, and it was great.
Well, everyone's like, this is how people should react to it. And I was like, fuck no, you don't owe your abusers empathy.
No.
You don't owe them, you don't owe anybody else's abuser either empathy. Like, you don't know the whole story, you know, whatever it is, and even if it's just a troll.
Right.
What, you know, whatever degree of abuse.
Well, I mean, like, what a kind person of her to be.
Yeah.
I don't have to fucking be that kind.
That's why I was like, I made a point, like, it's not your obligation to do that. Like, good on her. That's wonderful. I genuinely think that's fantastic. A man was hurting. There's less hurt in the world now. Because she was at a place in her life where she could reach over her abuse to her abuser.
And over her pile of money that she has.
No, that's what, and that's what it is. When you have that access, you have that privilege. It's not really, I don't say an obligation, but like a responsibility almost. But at the same time, still no.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't have to, when somebody, when it's not like someone's being mean to you, when it's straight up calling someone a cunt for no reason, that's sexist and it's abusive. Especially on the internet, where I'm sure I get them in my inbox, the rape threats and the death threats and all that. Like,
how grown up?
Yeah, no, it's, and I block them each time
sure,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so funny too, because when guys don't know like my background or stuff, and I start talking or I make a joke about like, oh yeah, I block people real fast. They're like, oh well, what did you do? Did you say something? Were they just respond?
And oh,
I'm
dude,
like,
her and BJ have to start a fucking podcast.
I love BJ.
Yeah, she's the best. That you two together, I would listen to that all fucking day. That would be awesome.
I actually, Dwayne's starting a new one about pop culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he put up this list, and I was like, hey, I could talk about Daria and stuff or whatever. And then I was like, and if you know BJ, she'd be great for cult whatever. 3 minutes later, I get the notification someone else commented, and BJ was like, I'm Tim Curry, cult class one. And I sent her the screenshot of the message. I was like, I already got you. And that's what I love amplifying other people. And it's not just like, oh, if you're not, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
No,
it's literally like I like investing NP. I like relationships. I like one-on-ones. I don't have a core group I hang out with. I make individual relationships with people. That's one of the things, like, which I actually, the reason that prompted me to think about it was my ex has a core group, which is, I love all of them, we're all still friends, from college. It's like about 6 or 7 that are all hang out, they all do stuff, you know, Indians game, they're at someone's house.
Yeah.
Anytime we went out, you know, like, and it's a mix and match of whoever's available, whatever's going on, it's potluck, you know, and they've been friends for years, and it's a cool group. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's, you can see that they care about each other, it's a family.
Yeah.
But I don't have that. And he was asking me, he's like, outside of me, who do you hang out with? And I'm like, Well, on Mondays I have Girl Scouts and I usually do comedy. On Tuesday I host a trivia show. And then, like, I'm doing stuff out in the world. That's where I get my, you know, like, my meeting people. I think it's wonderful to be kind to strangers.
I try to be, like, overly nice to, like, people at gas stations or, like, you know, if I go out for food. Like, I try to be overly nice, like, to get me to be a dick to somebody in the service industry, you have to be a fucking asshole. Right. Like, to me, off the bat.
What's the worst thing you've done to somebody in the service industry?
Oh, walked out on a bill. Okay. Like, but it was because, I mean, am I saying it's right? Absolutely not. Would I do it now, even if I was pissed? Absolutely not. Like, the worst it gets for me now is if you're really shitty, you're getting 10% and I don't feel bad about it. But yeah, no, I've walked out on a bill before because they were fucking assholes.
What's the worst thing you've done to someone in the service industry?
Trying to think of all the services. Like, as a coworker or, like, me being served?
You being served.
Jeez, probably leave the 10% tip.
Yeah.
Or, like, if we're counting customer service reps, I did tell an AT&T rep to quit their day job. Like, and then I hung up. It felt real good. Because they were, like, going back and forth, and I was like, that is not what you said. What in the world? Like, people think I'm nice, but I bet there are about 24 recordings of me talking to, like, tech customer, like, what?
Well, you gotta be like the kid who drove his grandma's car through the store. I always forget his name, the little fat kid. And he's like, he said, it's fun to do bad things.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes you gotta be mean to somebody.
Well, that's what I mean, and I'm not, like, when I talk about emotional, I am not above, what is it? It's kind of like how Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you get that one petty dig in, and then you go high. Like, that's...
That's one way to look at it. I get above and beyond petty, though, and I think part of that is because I rage. I'm no longer capable of doing that emotional labor where I can force myself to show you basic human decency if I'm pissed at you. And, I admire your ability to do that, but...
That's why we're a good tag team, dude. We're good cop, bad cop. It's fucking great. It's why it works. I think me and Jeremy learned everything we know about life from professional wrestling.
I want to say, like, being in Northeast Ohio, but specifically the comedy scene, you get a backdoor access to indie wrestling. Like, what, and having a last name of Hogan? Like, yeah. All the time. And I'm just like, yeah... I've gotten it since second grade, though. Like,
yeah, you know, right.
Well, is the Hulk your dad? That's not even his name.
When I was writing the jokes about you, I was trying, how can I write a Hogan joke without using the N-word?
You could have said something about, like, I mean, the only thing with roast battles that I get a little bit iffy about is, like, oh no, a fat joke, because I'm a size 12. My sixth grade bully would have so much in common with you.
Right.
You know, like, and so that's the only thing that I get a little apprehensive about, which is probably why I wouldn't go up against a guy unless it's, like, a specific, like, if you asked me, like, I'd have to think about which guy.
That's weird, because I saw two girls go at one time, and they called each other fat.
Well, that's what I mean. Megan had a few, but they were, fat wasn't, like, the punchline. Like, she had one about being, like, you eat out more than, like, a lesbian or something like that. Like, and they were not just, like, ha, you're fat, and I'm like... That's not a joke.
There's an art to it.
Just an observation.
There's an art to it. You have to, the way I put it, because I write so much about Tabitha, is you have to do artisan fat jokes. It's like, yes, because you can boil down roast jokes to a basic insult. You're fat, you're disgusting.
Ugly.
You're ugly. You're not funny.
You have no teeth. You're a Jew. Yeah.
You're getting it. But how do you get to that?
Yeah.
And the answer is a joke. As long as it's a joke, it's fine.
Like, dude, well, the one about Tabitha and the shocks in her car, I was fucking pissing my pants laughing at that. That was really good.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorites, too.
Well, and that's what, like, with Megan, I had no idea. She's the one who told me her boyfriend was 17 years older than her. Mm-hmm. And I was
I thought you were going to say 17 years old. I was like, oh, God.
No, well, that's like, because she did. She messaged me because we had not met each other before. So, like, what I did was, before she even messaged me, I wrote jokes about just what I knew of her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just what I knew of her. And then once she met, we talked a little, and then we talked at the 51st. You know, then I went back and curated them from now as what I know of her as a person and what weaknesses I can exploit. You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what... You know, and with the whole thing, like, or what is it? Like, I hate when, like, guys, like, the reason I would be, like, a little apprehensive is because I don't feel obligated to be a supporter in my degradation. And what we were doing, in, like, in a roast battle is, you know, like, usually you want to know the person because it's funny. Like, the first one I did, I made sure I set it up so the audience knew.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked about her acting career, and then I talked about her 17-year-old, you know, like, I Googled her. Like, so then they all knew, so then the rest of the jokes were,
fell
in line. Kind so, like,
laid a base.
Yeah, and
that's important to do, especially when the audience doesn't know the people involved. And that's been something that's happening more and more, because we're trying to get more people involved. Mm-hmm. So that setup, and especially when you go to other places and do stuff, it's either got to be surface or you have to set it up like that.
Yeah. And that's what I knew I wanted. I had specific jokes. So I was like, I need, because essentially a joke tells a story.
Yeah.
Even if it's a one line, it tells a story. And that's what, like, when I first got into, like, comedy, because when I was in the trial, you can't talk, you can't do anything. But I could, like, and even at that, it was real apprehensive about writing, because they could technically subpoena stuff, you know, if they found out I had been writing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I read a lot. And I read on brevity, because that's a big thing with jokes and stuff, is to the point. Just enough words to get the punchline out, because I'm a very wordy person.
Me too. Every time I write a joke, Shear's like, it's good, trim it.
Yep.
Like,
No, and that's what, and so what, I like, I read Hemingway, you know what I mean? I read, oh goodness, what's her name? She's a poet, you know what I mean? Like,
Emily.
No.
Oh, what the fuck's her name?
Davis, her name, Lydia Davis. Lydia David, I love her. Like, so I read all these people who were famous for their, or renowned for their brevity, and then I also read, like, comedy writing, too. And so it's, like, when you make jokes, and when you, like, if I talk about my family and stuff, I'm definitely under the influence of, if people wanted you to write nice things about them, they would have behaved better. Like, that's it.
Okay,
like,
I have a question, though, because, but what are we calling this? Emotional what?
Labor.
Labor. Okay. So what you said about the roast battles is that you don't want to open yourself up to those kind of jokes.
Correct.
So,
which is why I wouldn't put myself out there and then tell him, you can't write this, you can't write that,
okay.
You can't write.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, at least you're smart about it instead of being like, well, yeah, I want to do this. It's a spot to be on a show. Well, hey, you said some really mean things to me. Like, isn't this like the whole emotional fucking.
And that's what, like, it was.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Very few guys, which I'm not even going to go into names or anything, like, very few guys would I go, because I know a lot of the guys.
She's like, because I know you guys name names here.
You do.
I'm not even going to name positive names. Like, I have heard the rumors of Hog, like, or even, like, when people talk, like, I never know anybody's name. I forget. It was after, like, or before an East End, Comedy Cabin. And, on a Thursday, and some new comic was talking to an old comic, and they were like, not like super gossip, but just kind of like, oh yeah, I met this person. Oh, you know, like, kind of, and it wasn't super deep. Like, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like anything like, oh, don't hang out with them. Don't book them. You know, anything like that. But I was just like, what? Who is that? Have I met them?
It's better not to know. It's better not to know.
And that's when I'm like, oh, and then, like, I heard, like, or whenever I hear something, I'm like, they did what? And it's more just like a, and everyone knows, and I'm fine not knowing.
Like, yeah.
It's more of a.
Well, it sucks when you find out something that you don't, A, want to know,
mm-hmm.
and B, a lot of people should know, and C, nobody fucking knows.
Well, it's I am all on the being vocal of calling out stuff. Like, if there's a problem, there's a difference between predation and problematic. Louis C.K. is a predator.
Mm-hmm.
Louis C.K. absolutely deserves his career diminished for what he's been doing. Definitely deserves the rest of his career not even existent, pretty much. You know, like, whatever it is.
I can
get
behind that.
Now
just so we can, like, get across, because I found that I had to do this last night at a show because it got brought up. What exactly did he do wrong? Because some people are having a lot of trouble, like,
Dave Chappelle, like, hang the phone up. I guess you didn't dream too hard. That kind
of
crap.
That kind of shit.
So I guess, like, as a personal anecdote, when I was an undergrad, there was a TA who, there's undergrad, I studied cellular molecular biology. You have to have undergraduate research to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Those spots are competitive. People end up being in fifth or sixth years just to get a spot. And you could do it with a program director or a graduate student. And since there are a lot of more graduate students than program directors or advisors, it's easier to get in with them. he announced at one of our labs, hey, I'm doing stuff or whatever. Let's go, you know. And I emailed him, never got a response back. A few weeks passed, whatever. It was like exam week or something. All my exams were done. I went out on some shuffle, like up and down the bars and stuff. Someone's birthday. It was the princess shuffle. Don't forget your tiara, some sort of theme. Oh. So I wore like a nice, like a little like homecoming dress.
Okay.
And it was strapless and I had partial sleeves and stuff. Well, he was at the bar and I did not pay attention. I was pretty drunk myself. And he went to point and he asked if this was completely all up to accidentally hit me. And he goes, oh, you're in my class. And then he started coming. He's like, oh yeah, no, don't you usually wear sweatpants? And I'm like, cool. This is as drunk as I am. I'm like, this is a neat conversation to be in. Yes, I usually wear sweatpants. Like, it's an 8 a.m. lab.
Yeah.
And so then that night at about 3 in the morning, I got this the next morning, I get an email from him saying, yes, let's do it. By the way, I only have one spot, so it'll just be you and me out in the field. Like, oh, I didn't know you had tattoo. And I'm like, you're not doing this on my work.
Yeah.
You're not doing this on my competitive work. So now, because I can either wait... You know, like I can either wait until a spot comes up again or I can take this opportunity to further my career. And so with Dave Chappelle saying something, guess you didn't dream hard enough. I guess I didn't because I didn't take it. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to subject myself to that kind of sexual hostility or unknowing or whatever? Because it's not the question when like women are alone with men. I don't ask myself, when will this guy hurt me?
Right.
My question is, if he hurts me, will there be justice? Will it stop? Will I have to work with him? Will my economic opportunities, educational opportunities be dependent on putting up with a harassment to abuse to assault?
Right.
And so with Louis C.K., it wasn't just their admiration of him. He had the power and the platform to give opportunities. How many people were like, Baskets is going to go, his HBO show, I Love You Dad. How many careers were rippled and affected by this, specifically those women?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're on the phone and you can tell this guy's masturbating, what you go through in your head is, no, she should have never had to have been subjected to that.
Yeah.
That is,
no, agreed.
And it's not about, oh, hang up the phone. They were talking about work.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's once that line gets crossed from work into... And it keeps getting brought up to me, well, they're adults, they can deal with shit like this. Like, no, like, you're working. Like,
yeah.
Keep it work shit.
Like, what, like, I have never had a woman, and I'm not saying women have been predators, are predators, will be predators. It's not as prevalent, and it's not to the same degree, because right. women don't hold the same power dynamic. So, having a talk, like, some of the guys, when they bring it up, they bring up these, like, hypotheticals, because they want to know if their shitty behavior would it be indicative of, you know, like, what is it? Is it just like a, because I've been hit on by other comics, and I say no, and then we keep moving on. That's not problematic, that's not predatory. When you hit on me, and I'm obviously rejecting you, end of story, let's keep moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep hitting on me to the point where I feel uncomfortable going to shows, or I would choose not to, you know, when it's opportunity to be on stage, or if you're trying to trade, which is, you know, like I know in some scenes or what a lot of guys, like when I travel and stuff, they'll when women talk and stuff, they're like, oh, well, we don't actually do his show because he'll try and get blowjob from you.
Mm.
Like, oh, you want stage time? Oh, do you want more? Oh, I can get you. Oh, I can put you on last minute. Da, da, da. Or it's not even that explicit. It's more like a, well, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep it. You know, like, and it's very insidious. And that's why, and it doesn't seem violent. Like, Taylor Swift just recently won a sexual assault case. He grabbed her butt. Most people will say that's not sexual assault. And it absolutely
it is.
You groped her. You touched a person. He put his hand up her skirt and grabbed her butt. And she went through this whole trial and stuff. And there are a lot. She's very problematic in and of herself. But she was on the cover of that Time's Up or whatever Me Too thing and stuff.
Mm.
Going through a trial is huge. She also gave $250,000 to Kesha so she could keep going in her fight against Dr. Luke, who's not a doctor, huge music producer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that people kept not, I can't say anything, but I wouldn't work with him. Kelly Clarkson, how big is Kelly Clarkson? Well, he's a terrible person and I wish Kesha the best. Can't say anything though. You know what I mean? That's how much power he has.
Yeah.
And so it's not just like the fear of libel. So with Louis C.K., it wasn't just an improposition. It wasn't just a, well, you should, you know, if you didn't want to kiss him, get out of the room. You didn't want to see his dick, get out of the room. It should have never been a thing.
No, agreed. But the thing, the problem with that is, though, is if he's going to do it anyway, like that, you either fucking, you have to react, You can't just stand there and be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Fuck well, that. I mean, take an action.
I mean, well, so in high school, I had a friend, and I wasn't drunk, I wasn't anything. We were at this party, and it was a band party, and we always kind of flirted, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was fun, whatever, we were young kids, and I mean, we were kids, and I know, and a lot of these women were just coming up and stuff, and this guy who has clout, this guy, and you do talk about the admiral, oh, this is my hair, whatever. He was older, I mean, still, he was a kid, too. Cornered me in a room, and I just kept remember thinking, and all he did was like try and kiss me and stuff, but it was a literal corner, and I'm like, no, I'm telling him to stop. He's my friend, he's gonna live, and it's that freeze. A lot of people freeze, so when your dick comes out, you have no idea, is this man gonna rape me? Is he just masturbating in front of me? Is he, you don't know where it go, and that's what's going on in your head is, and the same thing, women have been killed for just turning down a guy's rejection. A 16-year-old girl out in the Bronx just got killed, he slit her throat. Because she said no to some 30-something-year-old man. You know, like, this is something that is an actual, and that's, like, with emotional labor, is when I talk to a guy, there's a lot of emotional labor that goes on in there. Mm-hmm. Not just because I've specifically gone through a trial or I've been assaulted or whatever. Even outside of that, it's not just my own PTSD. If you've seen society, is Louis C.K. in jail? Didn't he just admit to sexually assaulting five different women? That we know of?
Yeah.
Like, why is he not, his Dave, whatever, Hickey or something, Dave Nicky, whatever his manager's name is, who called them and tried to smooth it out and threaten their careers. Yeah. Why is he not fired yet? Right. Why is, you know.
I agree with you 100%.
But we're all talking about it at least. You know, like, that's, and that's not at least, that was sarcastic. And so that's where it is, you know, like, you have to do more than just talk about it. You have to do, what's his name? James from The Room. The disaster movie, James Franco.
Yeah.
He huge screenshots of him preying on a 17-year-old girl in New York on Instagram. Didn't know, just messaging her, preying on her. Another one came forward about it too. That's the art acting class he taught while he was at Stanford or whatever, wherever he went. I don't know if it is Stanford. Wherever he went to college, he had an acting class. Students are talking about it. Five different women came out, and he's on the red carpet with a Time's Up button or whatever.
Yeah, and he's going on, when he asked about it on, it was one of the late nights.
Conan.
I think it was Conan. You know, he's like, well, this is being blown out of proportion. It's like, well, you're in a position where you have a student.
Yeah.
And you're using that position as her better. You know, not just in a male-female dynamic. It's, you're her teacher. You're trying to show
her. There's an authority there.
Yeah. And you're using that to get laid. That's fucked up.
Well, and that's what that's where the predation versus problematic comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Louis C.K. is a predator.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he's not in jail, but he's a predator. It's a sex crime to flash somebody. Like, I don't understand how dick pics aren't then, because that's like, you get to personally flash me in my pocket, in my home, in my bed, while I'm at school. Like, that's a thing now. That's a thing that, like, and I know women do, you know, like, but for the most part, a lot of dudes send dick pics.
I've never sent
like unsolicited. Exactly.
I've done it twice, and it's just, fuck, I don't understand why anybody would do that in the first place. It's fucking ridiculous.
I don't send dick pics. I send a picture of a hamster going through chemotherapy. There you go.
I like it.
It's perfect.
But, like Daniel Tosh said an exceptionally wrong and bad joke when the woman was like, hey, that's offensive. And he was like,
somebody take her outside and rape her or whatever.
He goes, wouldn't it be funny if five dudes just raped her right now?
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens without justice. You know what I mean? Like, that's... And people don't like to realize how close that violence is to them.
Yeah, but that's not predatory behavior.
No.
It's problematic behavior.
Exactly. So Daniel Tosh, does he deserve to have his completely career ruined, whatever, da da da? No.
Yes, he does, because he's not funny.
Well,
let's not get into that debate.
Right?
All I'm going to say is Daniel Tosh pulled me out of a really bad mushroom trip. So.
But no, we'll see. But he doesn't deserve to have his career completely derailed or whatever, because he had, that's what I consider a lapse in judgment, is where you go too far, you step over, you say something where, my mother always said, like, where most people have a filter, you have a funnel.
And, that's,
my mother's like very good at, she means it as a compliment, and everyone else is like, what'd your mom say to you? And I'm like, no, it's heartfelt. She means it. well, she told me I'm very handy in a tragedy. Like, she, that means, like, oh, you're strong, you know, like,
yeah.
You're,
yeah.
And that's that emotional labor we talked about. Like, oh, you're in, no, my mom means that as a compliment.
You know, yeah,
like,
right.
I know her, and I, she, that's her saying I love you.
No, I like that. That's perfect.
But that's what, you know what I mean? I've done it. Who hasn't overstepped a boundary with a friend? Who hasn't said something offensive? Who has, and it doesn't mean you're not, it doesn't mean you're irredeemable. You know, it doesn't mean yeah. that you can't come back and say, I've reassessed, I overstepped, I apologize, I'm going to take this time and not put the onus on you, but to say, I'm not just reflecting, but I'm taking active steps to change and make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's problematic. But you see these predators who don't up until Louis C.K., it's all rumors, it's all rumors. And then as soon as he knew it was going to come out and he saw what happened to Weinstein, bigger than him.
Yeah.
With a bigger network than him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was, oh, all the rumors are true, as if that would save him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's like Kevin Spacey, like, hey, yeah. A 14-year-old kid said I fucked him. I'm sorry, I must have been drunk. By the yeah. way, I'm gay. Like,
yeah, that, like diversion. That's what you, and it's so, it's honestly.
What a shitty way to use that, too. What right? a fucking shitty way to
when
use that.
When you see the stupid Duggards going out there and saying, oh, the gays are raping, like, our kids and stuff, and da da da, whereas they have a literal predator in. What is it? Kristen Gayle would have had a really good joke where she's like, you can't pray the predator away. I love that one. She came up on my newsfeed. I was like, yes. Oh.
That's
great. That's funny.
But yeah, no, like, that's what it is. Like, that's, you, these people hide behind marginalized groups, you know, oh, it's the woman's fault. Oh, I'm gay, you know, whatever it is. Like, and it's just like a, no, you're, it, like, I don't think criminal should be at, it's not an insult anymore because it doesn't mean anything. These subjective lines we draw in society of what's a criminal, what's a convict, what's a felon, what's a bad person. The GOP, the Republicans, have 4 convicted criminals running right now. The family values, pro-life, whatever, da da da. That 4 convicted criminals.
And they almost voted in a pedophile.
Yeah, like that is, mm-hmm. and it's just like a. Well, I mean, if you see Trump has how many women?
It's like, last time I saw, I think it was like 25, something like that.
And
like,
that's yeah. what, and so that's where it's a...
hey, those are just claims.
It's a misunderstanding. I love, a misunderstanding is like, when I was in high school, my friend was the first one to get a job with out of all of us. Like a real job, not just babysitting, not under right. the table. She got a job waitressing. And we had been joking the night before, like, about, like, oh, you're a waiter, you're going to have a cute little skirt, whatever it was. I pinched her butt, she laughed. When she's at work, and I was probably 14, you know what I mean? And it was a joke. In my head, it was a joke on dudes who do that. Like, that's what I was, oh, we're safe, we're doing this thing. She laughed, walked away. And then the next shift, when I saw what it, we went in to support her and tip her and stuff, I did it again. And she was just like, can you not do that at work? And I could see it in her eye. Like, what, like that was, and I felt so bad, but it's not about how I felt. You could tell, like, and that's what I waited till after work. And I was like, you know, this was before texting on her own phone and stuff. And I was just like, hey, I'm really sorry. I want to let you know I wouldn't do that purposely, but I'm sorry I did it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it obviously made you uncomfortable at your first job. This was a big thing for you, and I tainted that.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't sexual. It was supposed to be like a bonding thing with women, but it's not like a, you know, there are things that specifically when it comes to your body, and I knew she knew it wasn't sexual. It was more of a, like, I'm being an adult right now, and you're making me look bad in front of my boy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what, but it was still like a, I wanted to be there for you. And not only was I not there for you, I tainted your, you know, whatever it was with all the other stresses that you had. And now that was just as a kid. And I think, like, as kids, if somebody, and I'm not saying, like, that's just a decent human being thing to me. That's like borderline, you know, like, if you hurt somebody, I don't understand how people don't want to rectify. They get all, like, it's not just like a, you know, like I talk about feminism or I talk about this and people don't let, or if I talk about Republicans, okay, you don't like Trump, but you're a Republican voter. Like when I do the funny stuff or something and you can see people get a little like uncomfortable. That to me is not hurting someone.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's what, but if I got up there and started laying into like different like slurs and stuff and whatnot, that you have no idea. You know, if I use the F word for gay people, like it's, you have no idea where somebody is in their journey. And yeah, go ahead, free speech. You can use it. But how does that not affect you that you have hurt somebody? You know, you put that extra little bit on them. How does that not, whatever. And it doesn't say it's discrimination in a sense like, oh, it's not like Pete kicked them out. Like, oh, there are gays in here. Like, No, but if you get up there on stage and you're, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a personal kind of just like a baseline of human decency. If you hurt, not offend them, not disrespect them, but straight up hurt someone, if you care about them or not, how do you put that emotional labor on them to get over it?
I don't know. Ask the president.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. When it comes to jokes, you know, it's my responsibility to be funny. And if I say something just virulently hateful without putting enough care into it to make it a joke, then I have a responsibility to apologize. But if I, you know, if I've worked out a thing for many years that mm-hmm. gets laughs and somebody gets upset at it, I don't give a shit. For example, I did a New Year's Eve gig last year with Tabitha, Chad Zumach, and Joe Howard. And I did like a joke I've been doing pretty much since I started that always works, about how my daughter got diagnosed with ADD. And somebody in the audience had ADD. She got really mad just with the mention of it. The whole joke is not making fun of ADD. The whole joke is me, yeah, you know, poking fun at the idea that we over-medicate our kids and I'm going to take the medication.
Well, I mean, like...
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. That line is where the emotional labor lies.
Yeah.
And that's what, when you hurt somebody, like if you, like if she said, hey, I have ADD, and like you were just like, oh, well, you're a fucking cunt. Like she came, yeah, you know, like, or you were like, oh, well, I see you're subhuman. You know, like it's, although ADD, that's a real weird thing to get upset about. But
like, I mean, well, you know, she was trash.
Oh, okay.
One of the jokes. But there's also like, there's an expectation when you're at a comedy show, yeah, like, there is a time and a place to approach somebody about how that joke made you feel, yeah, and it's after the show.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. I feel like the only time or the only thing that I would do, even like as a comic, is if it was just like racist epithet, and I'm not going up. Usually what I do is when guys like or what whatever it is, like straight through whatever, if they say something not just problematic, but just like mean, you know what I mean? Just what hateful. It's I usually try and go up there and do a joke about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I try and call it, like, one of the first time, like, I remember it was one of my first all-around good sets. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, no jokes didn't land, whatever. Not that I've only had good sets since then, but, you know, like, this was, like, the first, like, this was good. People enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, we all had fun. And this kid had gone up before me. It was at Happy Dog at Modern Kicks. This kid had gone up before me. And it was during the Escape from the RNC thing.
Mm.
So all these liberal Lakewood people are in there. All of them. And he, you know, and he was talking about, oh, well, I'm a short guy this and da-da-da, and I'm Spanish this. And everyone's with him, like, you know, like, okay, we're laughing. Like, it wasn't, like, bouts of laugh, but they were with him. Mm. And then he started going off about how, like, something about if women are a size 10, or not a size 10, if they're a 10, you expect them to break your heart. But he's like, but if they're a size 6... Those are the ones that break your heart because you didn't expect that. That's real love. You fell in love with them. What are, you know, like, which you could take that and, you know, you could take that and make a joke of it saying, like,
I guess.
Well, and that's what everybody works stuff out. You know what I mean? Like, you, and that's what it's technically, it's not, you know, like.
Oh, but, I just remembered that.
But.
that joke.
Well, and then he just started laying into what a Midwestern 6 looks like. He goes, you know, the back knee, and then they're not hips, but she calls them hips, and they're just love handles, but her butt's flat, so you know they're just love handles. And she has, like, real small, and, like, just going off about, like, it wasn't fun. It was like you're describing your ex.
That's not
you know
funny.
What I mean? Like, and so it was not even like a, oh, this is sexist, I'm offended. It's more just like a, this is dumb. Dumb as fuck. Like, what?
Well, I mean, like, I used to, one of the jokes I always, like, when I do comedy, which I don't anymore, but, like, when I do, there's, like, four jokes I have that I know do well every time. Even, and they, I don't want to say push the limits because I don't ever try to be that guy, but I just say what I fucking feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes out really funny. And I used to tell this joke about, it was more of a story than a joke. It had a punchline at the end. But one of the things I added in there, and I've talked about it on the show before, is a story about how an ex-girlfriend of mine had gotten 2 abortions in the previous year that were supposedly my kids. Mm-hmm. And I said in the middle of the joke, I was like, is it an abortion or a miscarriage for hire? And that made one lady very upset. And I took it out of that joke because it's only going to hit with certain crowds, and it's going to be young crowds. I don't find it very, like, mean or offensive. I'm just trying to be, like, I miscarriage for hire, like a hitman for kids. It's fucking funny to me. I don't know.
I could see, though, and the only problem is if somebody had just had a miscarriage. They can talk about it.
Well, I know she had one, obviously. That's why she got so upset. But, like, I just don't know how recent it was, you know
what I mean? And that's what it, like, because technically you could be, you know what I mean? Like, it, and that's where it's at.
It's like, not like I looked at her and be like, an abortion or a miscarriage for hire. Am I right?
Nancy, huh? Last week? Right? I saw your blog. Your mommy blog. Well, not anymore mommy
blog. Oh, dude. Oh, we gotta go. That was perfect. That was perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
That was perfect. That was.
So, we've learned that there's a lot of emotional labor that goes into comedy.
Just in, like,
on both sides. On both sides.
Oh, God, that was great.
Can't miscarriage emotional labor. Yeah. Can't afford it.
Oh, shit.
So, but, Kate, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. No, I was just, no, I mean, I think it's just, like, it's emotional labor. It's just, like in your personal life, in your comedy life, in your personal relationships, in your coworkers' comedy, you know, like, on stage with you and the audience and stuff, like, that's where kind of, like, the offense comes from.
Mm-hmm.
When you did that, you, obviously, this woman went through a ton of emotional labor because, no pun intended, but, like, because you brought up something very tough. She was triggered. That's the whole point of, triggers essentially are something, and it's different degrees. So, like, I used to, because I got, when I went and I filed a complaint and everything, I got threatened with charges if I kept going with it down in Athens. And so, and I told, like, this guy, now we're friends, but this investigative reporter down there was doing a whole thing. And every time he messaged me, I would get panic attacks and I wouldn't answer. And I'd, like, have to, like, wait, you know, text then. I'm like, you got to text me. Nothing's wrong first. Then text me what's going. Because I would get these in crazy impending doom of, he found something out. They're going to recall it. They're going to say it didn't happen. They're going to say there's no evidence. They're going to say I'm lying. Like, you know, like, even though everything was said and done and he took a plea deal. Like, this is, and I would get these panic attacks. So when I started doing comedy again, and I, even if I talked about rape, if I didn't, because I have some rape jokes and stuff, like, if I did that, I would, the idea that I could laugh afterwards, I'm like, someone's going to see me, they're going to tell them and go, oh, it must not have been that bad. You know, like,
yeah,
and Jesus. I would get these so I would usually throw up afterward. I would, and then that's why I would kind
of panic attacks, the fucking worst thing on the planet.
Well, and then, but that's like in public, like when I'm with, and it doesn't happen often, and it's, I don't know exactly what triggers it, whatever. I think it's just like too, because he was a friend. And so, like with my mom, and if, and I think if my mom can get this and respect this, although she obviously is annoyed, like, she does not hide that part. I don't know what triggers it. I don't know what it is, but I have this arbitrary distance that no one can come into. It's not a bubble. It's a, like this weird physical yardstick that if you come close to me, and it's probably about the distance here, and, like, I'll be in the kitchen, my mom will come up, and I will literally move around her like that, and she can tell. And I'm like, I'll just come back. And it's my own mother. Like, I can't be close to my mother. Like, that's not me throwing a tantrum.
No, it's just part of who you are.
And it's not something I want to do. It's not something I want to feel. But I'm just like, I can't do, like, and it's like I cage in my chest and stuff. And it usually only happens with, like, close friends, you know, like. Mm-hmm. And so I would dip a lot because you go to dark bars with usually a lot of men.
This is actually a relief because I thought I had somehow pissed you off on Monday.
No.
And I'm like, as soon as there was a break in the conversation, there goes Kate, and it's like, oh no, distance.
I had talked to a lot of people that day. Like, I drove Marty, you know, it wasn't even like anybody did anything specific. It's when, and I'm an extrovert, like, that's all. And that's, I actually, it's weird with, like, the Facebook on these days things.
Oh yeah.
I get to see the person I was up into it.
Yeah.
And then it happens, and it's so weird now that, like, I'm kind of, like, out of the rough. And I think that's the thing with the emotional labor is I gave up my mid-20s to fight social institutions and pillars of culture. I took on the Athens police. I took on OU. I took on the, you know, like, this was a huge thing. They changed policy and stuff, and it was a big thing. I gave up my mid-20s, and it was absolutely, like, it almost was like, I'm not doing this for myself. I know it, given the opportunity, he'll do it again. So you feel this, if no one else has this responsibility, I have to have all the responsibility.
Yeah.
And so I'm at this part, and that doesn't mean like I don't want people to feel sorry for me or sad. You know, it is a choice. I after, you know, you wake up the next day and you do it. And it's such a weird thing that I kind of talk about is where some people will inbox me, oh, you're a hero. And then some people inbox me all of their ever sexual like assaults or traumas or anything like that. And then other people inbox me like, you're a lying whore. You were just drunk. You were this, you were that, whatever it was. Like, what is it? When that's Sahara or Sahara?
Sahara.
I had to,
I didn't do that. And I made a joke about it. I was like, if I want to know what people anonymously want to say to me, I will just Google an article of myself from 2013. Yeah. Like, believe me, there are plenty of people.
I left that up for about a day.
I was just pissed because I only got like fucking 20 questions in a month. Nobody gives a fuck enough about me to say anything mean.
There's somebody that is not allowed to speak to me that I knew who it was, and I was like, all right, this is done. Because I have my own.
Well, and that's the same thing. Like, I was talking to my aunt, and I told her how, like, how do you tell somebody, especially, like, you want to date, you want to have the person you know me, and then I get to tell you, oh, well, I don't talk to my grandmother because she talks to my father, her son. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, like, a safety thing. I can't be, and she was like, oh, well, and I told, the Marines made my brother contact him because they have to do psychs and stuff when they first went in. And I told him, I was like, I understand that the Marines had you do this. If you stay in contact with them, it doesn't mean I love you less. Everyone's got complicated relationships with the people who abuse them, who do that, you know. But I was like, for my safety, I can't have anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can come home to mom's for Christmas. I won't be, you know, like, and that's, and it's not as much as it is an ultimatum, it's not a, I won't love you if you do this. It's a, for my safety, I have to put in these guards. And I take on that emotional labor. So when I talk to people and stuff, like, now, it's a, it's not like, oh, it's not like I, like an analogy of, like, swiping left or right in person. Like, nope, don't care about you. It's more like a, I don't have time for people who demand too much.
Yeah.
I love the relationships I have. This isn't even about anyone specific. Actually, when I think about the people, it's most people from, like, high school. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, not even anyone in the comedy scene or anything like that. It's just a... It's, as far as emotional labor goes, and that's a great thing. I get to work that out a lot with comedy, but I just hate that expectancy of, oh, you're this, so you do this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're this, so you do this. I actually, you know, like, I've had friends from the comedy check in, like, hey, how you doing? Like, hey, I saw that, like, you know, like, and... So there is a community there. It's not just a scene. You can make friends, but it's just like...
Oh, yeah, I've made friends there. I just fucking hate most of them. Well, and that's my friends, true, and right. I'll call them out by name.
Well, and you have people. I think the big thing with comedy, though, is you have people who come in and out. And there are a lot of people, and there's two different, what I've seen, dynamics to go. When I get up on stage, I am essentially a little bit more hyper... Like, I say punch, you know, I'm on. But what I'm saying on stage is me.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I believe. It's what I'm doing. If I'm not, I might not be doing like a joke on like trans rights, but I have my "you can pee next to me" shirt.
Yeah.
So you know, this is me. Whereas other people create a character because it's for the joke.
No, I was always that I wanted to portray who I am to, like. That's why I wrote certain jokes the ways that I did. So it's like, if I come across with this wording, you will understand my politics. And if not, I will fucking tell you.
No, that's the thing. Like, and so then you have to decide, essentially, and it's not just dudes, it's women too. You know, they get up there, they do any person and stuff. And then I have to decide if in anybody, you know, like when you hear that, I'm like, is that them? Is that their character? Is that just their joke?
Oh, God, there's so many names just flash in my head. It's like, homophobe, racist, homophobe.
And that's the thing is, like, and you can usually, I've gotten a lot better now telling, like, these are not a character. This is their underlying plot. They're using a joke to mask. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to invest in a person who, you know, and it's almost just like, it's the, and you can, you can tell these people who, you know, they don't see beyond their front porch. That's their world. Their world is their front porch. And it's not anybody specific. It's most of them are people who I've actually only seen once or twice and they never come back. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's what I'm just like, and it's not like a write-off. It's just like a, unless like you come in, like introduce yourself to me, I'm not going out of my way to bring you into my life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that emotional, like, whereas like, kind of you're talking about, like, oh, why didn't you put on a project and stuff?
Yeah.
There are people who I'm like, that's how they will be. I'm not going to invite them into my life to start with.
So before we wrap up, this is the thing I want to figure out. What is your ideal life devoid of emotional labor look like?
I guess it's kind of just like
Netflix and chill.
Yeah, right. No, I'm Netflix and no chill.
Yeah. No, it's that's the only time I'm really happy is when I'm watching
YouTube. I'm working on my new record, Netflix and Xanax.
I guess it's just like directness. You know what I mean? Like without emotional labor, it's that directness where it's like obviously people have issues convey for whatever like background they have conveying. It's not like I told people what, you know, like when I left on Monday, you know, mm-hmm. I can't do that. I can't worry if people are offended that I dipped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to have to. I know when I get edgy, I can almost like how people say they can taste like copper when a mm-hmm. seizure's coming on. I can feel my, you know what I mean? Like I feel that little hummingbird effect where I'm standing still, but I feel like a little shaky or fuzzy. And mm-hmm. so like if I didn't have that emotional labor to put on where it's a don't take it personal. Right. This is all me. Whatever I'm doing, because at least the person I am, and this is what I expect of people, it's obviously not that big of a deal if you're going to be vague and talk crap, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I haven't said negative opinions about specific people in private conversation. You know? Like, I'm not above gossiping to a whole point, but it's like a, it's just like a, like, I don't talk about other comedians to other comedians.
Mm.
Like, that's just like a thing, unless it's like...
I've been trying to get that to happen for fucking ever.
Don't look at me when you say that.
No, it's like, I don't talk about other comedians. Like, I've had a few friends where I've had, like, private, where I feel safe enough that it's like a, I can tell you my opinion, and you know it's not me trying to badmouth them. It's just, I had this experience, I don't like this person, I get to talk to this person about that.
I'll leave you with this thought on that. I saw this tweet the other day from a professional wrestler. Magnum CK. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the best advice I ever got was from my grandfather. And my grandfather said, don't expect loyalty to go both ways. Or never expect loyalty to go both ways. And that fucking hit me the other day. I was like, damn. Like, because I'm a pretty loyal motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And I expect that out of people. And that scares me.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't expect really. I guess it's not loyalty. I just expect just like, you don't have to like me. You can say negative things about me. But the moment you start... And I've not experienced this, like 100% not experienced where it's like, but I've heard people say, oh, that comic said don't book that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they said don't book. And it's not like problematic people. It's just because they don't like them.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's kind of like to a point where it's like, it's not even like I'm not going to put myself in that position, but it's like a, I'm not here for that. I'm not here to like not book a person because you don't like them. I'm not here to book a person just because we're friends. Like, if I'm going to make a show or if I'm going to be on a show, I know I didn't do a show because one of the guys saw my thing at Grog Shop and said, hey, I run the show, whatever, da da da. And I had never actually met him before, so he wasn't like the accidental or Bill, you know, like not the main. He said, add me on Facebook and I'll get you on the lineup. And I was like, oh, cool, opportunity. Within a day, he posted about the Me Too and about how, like, anybody I've dated, what? And I was just like, nope, don't want to work on a show with you, and defriended him. Like, that's,
yeah. Well,
I'm not here for that, because if you think I have a panic attack with Jeremy, saying
it
hi.
It happens to me once a week, lady.
Thanks for the gloves, you know what I mean? Like, definitely, I'm personally not going to exert, and other people will. Other people say it's stage time, it's practice, I can deal with that and move on.
I don't tolerate people shit. And if you're at all familiar with me, I'm not changing. Kate, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, my Facebook is kate.lynn110.
All right.
And my Twitter and Instagram are both Kate, C-A-I-T, Lionheart.
All right. So there
like
is
the Lionheart Chris Jericho.
Or like Lisa Lionheart from The Simpsons. But both are good. Both are good references.
Yeah, man, they're both amazing people. Yeah, respect the shit out of Lisa Simpson.
We got to thank our sponsors. Thank you, Brit Fox, X Fox Rocks on the Instagram and Snapchat. 2018 is going to be a big year for her, so get on that train while you can. Jess Falstick at Epic Fall on the Twitter. You can find her podcast, Default Setting, on the Above Below Entertainment Network.
That's my network.
It is. And you can see her Sundays at the Avenue Tap House.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
I love that commercial.
It is a good commercial.
And, of course, Play to the Stripper Herder. You can find him at playthestripperherder.blogspot.com. One floor guy's adventure through the strip club industry. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates emotional labor as much as Kate Hogan.
No, there is another.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstich.
Sheer, I told you it's Falstich.
That's not how it's spelled.
Well, BJ yelled at us.
So it's spelled Falstich, though.
It's like false dick, like it's like a fake dick, you know, like a sex toy.
Oh. That's Jess Dildo.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.